Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change here on Saturday morning. Of course, most of our frequent listeners know my background in technical world and engineering. So when my upcoming guest wants to talk about preventative maintenance for relationships, I said, aha, I'm on. That's a good one. So I welcome to the show John Wittry from Alt2 Consulting. How are you this morning, John?
I'm doing really good, Zara. Great to hear your voice and great to be with you this morning.
Excellent. From the Denver area, you guys still got snow on the ground or is it all up there in the mountains?
Well, you know, Colorado in the springtime is a unique place. So yesterday was 70, and today we're waiting a snowstorm. We'll see a couple of inches this afternoon.
Lovely. Great. Well, let me introduce John. He's a leader in the management consulting field based in the Denver area, also involved in producing results within Fortune 500 companies around the globe through some time-tested coaching programs that are focused on meeting both personal and professional goals. John's a master facilitator and coach who prides himself on bringing out the best in his clients by navigating really three key areas: strategic planning, accountability, and personal and team productivity. His clients have included Microsoft, Heinz, Hewlett-Packard, Chick-fil-A, Medline, Ericsson, and Giant Eagle. John's background also includes holding senior management positions in medical research, the pharmaceutical industry, and the design marketing industry, and he co-authored the book Take Back Your Life, Using Microsoft Office Outlook to Get Organized and Stay Organized. And in addition to being a consultant with Impact and also McGee Productivity Solutions, John and his wife Donna have been married for 29 years, have two adult children, and also a passion for developing strong relationships through their company, Restoration Ranch, as they help other couples. So that's quite a portfolio. Did you ever think by design you're going to be playing on that many quadrants at the same time, John?
Yeah, listening to you, I'm not sure if I should be diagnosed as ADD or not. It's a wide spectrum. You know, I've been really fortunate to have a very diverse career, but running through the entire length of my career has always been a passion for two things. One, really helping people be the best they can and have the lives they want to live, but also really to have strong, effective relationships.
Yes, and I think that means that this isn't something people do just between 9 to 5, but it's also what they do after hours, or as I say, their 5 to 9 life.
Yeah, and you know, working with executives across those companies that you mentioned, you know, what's amazing is the impact that what happens after hours actually has on their business performance. So, you know, oftentimes they're bringing me in to actually help them with their organization and the challenges their organization faces. And when the conversation dives a little bit deeper, and maybe because of my bent on wanting and people to have effective relationships, lots and lots of times the conversation comes around to what's happening at home.
Yes, and in fact, I recall a really seminal article that was written because that word consulting, coach, counselor, and counseling profession, there's a lot of blur out there. It's not nearly as, well, for lack of a better word, regulated or differentiated, so that as individuals reach out for help, to in their own mind know that there is this continuum, but you have to be careful of the kind of person you engage as to whether or not they really have a credible background to offer, all the way from consulting as you do to, yes, being qualified and very experienced in helping people on those family life or personal life things that are really, as you said, kind of backward affecting, or, you know, upstream, downstream type effect. Well, John, you'd mentioned wanting to dive into this subject of preventative maintenance. Why that choice?
Well, you know, one, I have a passion for a relationship. My wife and I, over the course of the last 29, 30 years, have come to learn that if we... we are most successful when we're constantly working on our relationship. And maybe the best analogy that I can give you was when I bought my first house, of course, you know, very giddy, very excited about the fact that I had we had kind of gotten our first home, and my brother-in-law was with me, and I wanted him to be giddy and excited for me. But I looked at him, and he was just stone-faced and kind of looking around the house, and he turned around to me, and he said, "Just want you to remember one thing. If you're not working on it, you should be." And while he was talking about my house, and relationships are very much the same way, everything is almost always in a constant state of deterioration. And so, you know, if we're not applying preventative maintenance to our house and to our cars, they deteriorate. The same concept is true for our relationships. If there's not some form or structure to applying preventative maintenance, not to, you know, take a terrible thing and make it better, which sometimes is required, but I'm talking about a good relationship, but taking it to great. That takes consistent time and energy and focus, and I'm passionate about it. And, you know, how it relates to my business world is key. I know that the people that I coach and the executives that I'm engaged with, the most successful executives are those that not only pay attention to the strategy in their businesses, but are also paying attention to their priorities at home, the relationships they have with their spouses, their children, their friends. And I like to be a part of helping people have really balanced, successful lives across the board.
Well, and I think you're right. The idea of preventative maintenance, I mean, you know, how often companies and organizations focus so much on new business development and attracting new customers, where they're overlooking just the simple checking in with your current customer base or the thank you note to a supplier that did you well, that there you can maintain a healthy relationship with that supplier versus having to go the upheaval of finding a whole new supply base because maybe you weren't just paying attention to maybe some concerns they had that you could help them with.
Yeah, it's absolutely key. And you know, just constantly staying engaged, constantly checking in, you know, having routine conversations that aren't around dilemmas or challenges or problems that you're facing, but actually are more meaningful and move the relationship forward. Too oftentimes when we're working on our relationship, we're trying to solve a problem, sure, we're trying to correct something, as opposed to just saying, "Hey, how are you? You know, what's happening in your world?" And then actually really listening to their response and really caring. So not just asking to ask to be polite, but really caring and being with them, being present with them. It's key. It's key to having great relationships across the board.
Well, and you know, that of course, that evokes that whole time-tested challenge we have in organizations of finding the time to do that. I mean, look at how many are leaders that, you know, they lean on those of us that coach and consult. They say, well, it's annual performance review time, and I know I've got some difficult conversations to have with employee X. And it's something that they may have put off for an entire year since the last conversation, right? Where if they'd had a little bit more routine engagement, perhaps some of those things could have been resolved as opposed to it chock-a-block at, you know, at that emotional dividing point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. That statement really relates to, I was facilitating a seminar a couple of weeks ago, and part of the work that I do is around time management through the Take Back Your Life book that you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier. And, you know, when I've been doing this work for so long, and so when I'm looking at my audience, I look at them, I said, you know, the second most common canceled appointment on your calendar is one-on-one meetings. This could be one-on-one meetings with your staff, one-on-one meetings with your direct reports, peers, et cetera. And, you know, one-on-one meetings in the corporate world are incredibly routine. I mean, in the yeah. sense of scheduling them, and everybody thinks knows that they're important, but they're the second most common canceled appointment. And the thing that I was impressing upon this group of people was, you know, we spend all of this time in the beginning of a year creating a strategy. And from that strategy, we cascade objectives. And now we know what our outcomes are and what we're supposed to be working on. And, you know, as Mark Samuel is so expert at, holding people accountable to those things. And then, in my opinion, one-on-one meetings are actually the meetings that you must have to maintain alignment on that strategy, to maintain alignment to those goals, and to be talking about performance. Now, if people could be more disciplined and choose to be more disciplined in those one-on-one meetings, the result of that would be better relationships. It would be better focus on strategy. it would be consistent performance correction, as opposed to the idea, I'm going to give them all the bad news at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. My kind of rule of thumb on performance reviews is that there should be nothing new talked about in a performance review. It should simply be a summary of what you've talked about over the course of a year. Now, again, tying that back into relationships, if you can imagine how different of a relationship mm-hmm. that would be if you had consistent connection points as opposed to this once a year. Take that into your personal life. If you could engage with your family, if you could engage with your spouse, if you could engage with your loved ones on a more routine, consistent basis, as opposed to sometimes we get in these guilt-laden once mm-hmm. every 3 month conversations. And then there's either too much pressure to either have a good conversation, or so much water has gone under the bridge that there's too much irritation, pain, and frustration to have a good conversation.
Which, of course, I'm certain everyone listening is saying, yeah, that's why I don't like Thanksgiving or Hanukkah or whatever, because lo and behold, that usually snowballs around what's supposed to be a joyous family time together, but the other stuff creeps in. You know, your comment earlier about one-on-ones, one practice I adopted relatively early in becoming a supervisor in a company, in particular when you moved around from one big section to another, is I always worked with my assistant to say, of highest priority for X amount of time is I want to meet with each employee one-on-one, and I'm not going to set the agenda. It's theirs to set, although I would encourage them if they could send me a resume or some documentation of their prior career so I would, you know, get versed on that. And it was purely my desire to have a social hour with them where they could tell me whatever they thought was important. And of course, you can't help but be trolling for trends and patterns and so on as a new leader that you knew you wanted to address. But I'll never forget one of the opportunities I came into an organization where I was going to have 800 people reporting to me. And I told my assistant that, okay, it might take me a year and a half to do this, but I'm bound and determined to make it happen. And she was dumbfounded. And I said, I know this will put a lot of stress on you, but these times are going to be sacrosanct. And it was interesting. And by the way, people would volunteer as to when they'd want to set those meetings up. It wasn't like we went in alphabetical order. Years later, I had people tell me that when you came in and assumed this major assignment, because by the way, it was going to be a very difficult change dynamic in the company at the time, you had no idea the impact it had on people personally. And let alone, I got to tell you, yes, there was altruism in it, but it was just as much to inform me as the leader to go forward. But I do, I understand you're saying that they're the second most often canceled meetings because we think, well, I can just fit it in some other time, but there's a, you know, there's damage to be done then in terms of disrespect or, gee, I wasn't important enough that she would keep that meeting with me.
Yeah, and there's something that I would love for you and the audience that's listening to think about as it relates to what you said. Mm-hmm. My guess is those people that valued that commitment that you made to them, that time made to them, were more enamored by the fact that you made the time than probably even what got said in that meeting. And it ties to a concept that I like to help people understand, is that time is actually more valuable than money. And it's unique because, you know, we have all of our bank accounts are password protected, and we do what we go to all these heroics to protect our money, but then we mismanage this thing called time. Well, I know how to make more money. I mean, I can make more money at kind of at a drop of a hat if I'm really committed to that, but I can't make more time. And I think what those people were really acknowledging is you actually gave them your most precious resource.
You betcha. That's right.
Now, apply that across, so that's a professional relationship, and you can see that I keep coming back to this concept of personal relationships as well, because it's the same scenario. You know, our children, I won't project, my children valued the time I gave to them as much as, you know, any gift that I gave them on any birthday or any Christmas. My wife feels loved when I commit time to her, when I actually block time out on my schedule. Who cares what we do, in a sense, as long as I'm very present during that time. your one-on-one appointments with your staff members and with your peers and with your vendors, name the relationship, that's actually a gift of time. And that time is actually more valuable than money. You know, if there was any challenge I would like to make to your audience today is really take a good close look at your calendar.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you are a good calendar user, you can go back to your calendar and your calendar will actually tell you what your priorities are. And then what I'd like you to do is look at your calendar going forward and make a choice. Mm-hmm. What do I value? What are the outcomes that I'm most committed to? And make sure that those outcomes are some shape and form reflected on your calendar, that you're applying the resource of time. And remember, everybody only has 24 hours. And you have to divide that 24 hours up. Sleep takes a big part of it. But then personal and professional life, everything in your professional life that has actions associated with it requires the resource of time. Everything in your personal life with outcomes associated requires time. We've got to be better stewards of the time that we spend and the direction that we apply that resource.
Right on. And in fact, that's where you've got some of these insidious things that are robbing time from us that we think are nutritious, but they're really junk food. In other words, the amount of time people see, and again, not to be evaluative, but amount of time spent on screen time as opposed to real time. I mean, you think about the wonderful connections, at least I find, talking to people when I'm sitting on airplanes, as opposed to being stuck to still jamming on my computer for those 2 hours.
Yeah,
how much more wonderful eye-openers and aha, thought-provoking things come from that human engagement. And most certainly, as we get older in our life, we see that in our elderly people now, the amount of isolation that comes and thus impact on social, mental, spiritual health, as opposed to having the connectedness with people.
It's such a discipline. You know, not being consumed by the screen and name the screen, right?
Exactly.
It's such a discipline. And here's a game that I play. I like to make things game because they're fun. But if you ever notice getting in an elevator, and if there's a bunch of people in there, watch how many people, as soon as they get in the elevator, immediately pull up a phone and go to the screen and check their text messages. There's such an uncomfortableness in that close quarters. But it's a great example of what you just said is there's not going to be any relationship developed in that 30 seconds that the elevator is going up. So the game that I play is not pulling out my phone, which is my natural tendency because a little bit like Mark Samuel, I'm actually a little bit of an introvert. But I like to see how many people in that elevator I can engage in that 15 to 30 seconds.
Sure.
And it's just a really good discipline for me not to hide behind a screen and not to lose being present in the moment by whatever device I happen to have in front of me.
I love that. The examples you have then about preventative maintenance. I know one of them that you'd noted in our conversation we had was to learn and practice the ability to finish conversations. I mean, it's one thing to have them and get into them, but how many times we get sidetracked? So that practice of actually finishing a conversation is important. Some other areas of preventative maintenance then for our relationships.
Yeah, and it's funny because I normally talk about this one more when I'm speaking to people who are in some sort of personal relationship, but the same is true actually if you think about it in professional, and that's really understanding the love language of who you're in relationship with. And so here's just a very quick example. My love language is words. So when I love you, I will usually tell you. So I'll use words. I will compliment you. I'll build you up using words. So my love language, or the way that I show love, is through words. My wife's love language is through acts of service. So she likes to clean the house. She likes to do the dishes and all of that. Well, early on in our marriage, because my love language is words, I wanted her to use words to show me love. But because her love language is acts of service, she was showing me love by doing the dishes. And so I would tell her, you don't love me. And she's like, you're crazy. I've been doing the dishes for 5 years. What's the deal here? And it took us a little while to understand, oh, Donna's love language, my wife's love language, is acts of service. And so for her to know that I love her, I need to do acts of service. I need to speak her language. And vice versa, for me to know she loves me, she actually needs to tell me and use words to build me up. It's funny because there's a book on that subject, but it's written towards personal relationships. But take that into your professional world with your team. If you can watch your team, how they express acknowledgement, so that, you know, we don't usually use the word love in business, although we should, but however they express acknowledgement, however they express a thank you or love, is actually how they also hear it. Mm-hmm. And so one of the skills that I've adopted with my team is watch for how they express love, if you will, and then make sure that's how I'm giving them acknowledgement. So if words are important to them, then I'm going to use words. If gifts are important to them, like if they're always giving people little gifts, that's their love language. And so the best form of expression of appreciation that I can do for that person is give them a gift. And so instead of stamping management as one way, I'm actually trying to match a language that they'll hear more clearly.
Absolutely. So, how many leaders have spent time, for example, and thinking because they like to get a plaque when they've accomplished something that they can hang on the wall, that everyone in their group likes to get a plaque and likes to have it publicly acknowledged in front of an all-hands meeting, only to realize perhaps it's often too late that actually some people are so uncomfortable being singled out. And oh, by the way, there'll be another person that says, well, yeah, that was fine, Joe, but, you know, I completed that task 6 months ago. What took you so long to acknowledge me? Right? So you're not meeting them on the terms where they feel it's a reward or an acknowledgement, your word.
Well, and the rabbit trail that creates, because, you know, imagine a leader who gives the plaque and then the because that's not the love language, if you will, of the person that received it. The leader all of a sudden says, well, they're unappreciative, and, you know, I try to acknowledge them, and they never da-da-da-da. And oftentimes I go to those leaders and just say, look, you're speaking Spanish when the language is French.
Yeah, that's so, right. Well, and I think that was a really great example, though, John, of how much that building relationship muscle is exercised both in our personal and professional lives. It's clear crossover. So how fun for you to capitalize that or leverage that in the various pockets of the career you continue to unfold.
Yeah, it's been a blessing. It's been a treat. I'm one of those people that absolutely gets to love what I love what I do, and you know, I'm in love with my work. I've worked very hard to get to that place, but I've never really separated professional education and personal education. You know, again, your previous speaker, Mark Samuel, you take his accountability, personal accountability model, and which is an incredible model to take into a business place, but take that same model into your personal relationship. So I'm out there kind of banging a drum saying, hey, we're all doing this professional education to be better and to go from good to great in our professional world. I think it would benefit our professional world for us to do the same thing in our personal world. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to come back and say, well, I don't have time to do that. And my challenge always is, you will make time for what you truly believe is important.
But it's interesting. And it's interesting, though, by the way, when something breaks, though, how we then have to put the time in it to try to get it back, as opposed to, and the pain, anguish, et cetera, then the preventative side a forthright positive way. We've been speaking with John Whitry. His organization is Alt2 Consulting. John, how else can people get some insight into the ideas that you and your wife, Donna, have explored and how that applies to our personal and professional lives?
Yeah, there is. I guess the best way is there's a blog that we have, and it's you can find that at relationshiprestoration.wordpress.com. relationshiprestoration.wordpress.com. Or if you want any other information, you can certainly email me at john john.wittry, W-I-T-T-R-Y, at alt2consulting.com. So that's john.wittry at alt2consulting.com.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Sarah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Real pleasure. Have a great Saturday, and we'll be in touch soon. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.